Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Mac Maury with you. We head to the phone lines. Sal Capaccio joins us now, sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills. That seems very Italian. Am I wrong for saying that?
No, you would not be wrong. My full name is Salvatore Antonino Capaccio.
Okay. I love it. So I'm going to an Italian restaurant on Thursday. What do I order?
Well, I mean, listen, if you're going to an Italian restaurant, to me, I'm just I'm a traditional kind of guy. I love like some sort of pasta, whether it's spaghetti, whatever your flavor is. But I like some seafood in there. Okay. Sometimes I get that, you know, wherever I go, that's some shrimp, scallops, or you can just go with the chicken and sausage. But you got to put something in the pasta like that.
You got to go meatballs or something. I'm taking them to a restaurant called Jasper's for the first time. It's one of the Kansas City legendary places. They're known for their chicken parm, Sal. So the next time you come here, you go to Jasper's, you get the chicken parm, and you will absolutely love it. It's Paul Rudd's favorite dish in the world.
Well, I love that, but I will tell you that, you know, obviously we've been in Kansas City a lot over the last few years with the Bills, it's generally barbecue, right? I mean, like, you do in Kansas City, you go for barbecue, but I'll definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah, we wing every time we go to Buffalo, though? Is that what we're supposed to do up there, or is that like in Kansas City, you like barbecue, but you're not there every day?
Okay, so you are supposed to wing in Buffalo, but I will suggest, too, if anybody's coming to the game this weekend from Kansas City, any Chiefs fans listening out there, you know, there's another traditional food in Buffalo. We have great pizza, by the way, amazing pizza. We have pizza and wings. They go hand in hand together. Mm. That's what you do in Buffalo. You order pizza and wings. But there's also something called beef on weck. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I have.
It's a traditional Buffalo sandwich. It's roast beef. It's on a roll called a Kimmelwick roll. And it's a salted roll. And you got to get a beef on weck. So a lot of times you'll go to a restaurant and they'll say, get the like a Buffalo sampler platter. It's beef on weck with chicken wings and some pizza.
Oh my God, that's a sampler platter?
Yeah.
All right, Sal, let's dive into this game. Buffalo kind of hit with the injury bug. It's no secret the Chiefs have been hit with that all year, but here we go again. Gear up. It's Buffalo, it's Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. What do you expect in this matchup this year in the regular season in your backyard?
Well, I just think this is such a fascinating game. Because I think you could make an argument for both teams that, well, they're finding ways to win, and, well, they haven't looked their best, right? I think you could say that about both teams here. I mean, the Chiefs are doing what they do, winning football games. But when you watch and you see them play, it just doesn't seem like the same Chiefs team from the outside looking in. And they win by 2 points. They win by 6 points. They're winning a lot of one-score games. But they're also understanding how to win, and that's what championship teams do. Really the same kind of thing for the Buffalo Bills this year, where a lot of times you look and say, it just doesn't seem like the same team. You know, they're not necessarily running over everybody on offense, but they're scoring 30 points a game. But it feels like there's a struggle. They're getting off to slow starts. They're down at halftime. You know, Josh Allen's playing different this year. He's very efficient. He's not turning the ball over. I think this is a little bit intentional. I think it's going to be a close game. Both teams have, to me, this is an X's and O's game. I mean, we all know how incredibly smart Andy Reid is as an offensive coach. So is Sean McDermott as a defensive coach. Bobby Babich doing a great job as a defensive coordinator. Yes, I think injuries are certainly a storyline in this game on both sides. Both teams dealing with, you know, we know Keon Coleman's not going to play, which is a shame because, you know, Worthy against Coleman and the whole story and backstory there, we're not going to be able to see that. But at the same time, guys, this isn't the end-all be-all, right? We know that.
Right.
We could expect these two teams to play in the playoffs. I think for Bills fans, it's, okay, you have a chance here to ruin their perfect season, and I think that's what a big part of this is. But also, if you do win and the Chiefs stub their toe down the stretch, you can still gain that one seed because you'd only be a half game behind them.
You know, Sal, you mentioned something that kind of sounds like what we talk about here in Kansas City. You know, they're not winning games pretty and all that kind of stuff. When did people start caring how you win games in the NFL? Right. Like, why is that taken over as the narrative? You're 8-2, we're 9-0, F everybody else.
Listen, I'm with you. I fight this fight all the time, which is, since when? Now, I granted the Chiefs have Lombardis and Bills fans don't, but when have Bills fans become this spoiled to expect that, right? Like, don't be spoiled. Like, it's amazing. It's just, what's interesting to me, guys, is so the Bills, if you go back to a few months ago, we all saw they made changes. No more Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Mitch Moore, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis. And the talking point was, this is a reset year. Yeah, they're going to be okay. They still have Josh Allen, but it's kind of a transition. Even the GM said a transition year, however you want to take that. They weren't even favored to win the division. Yet here they are, 8-2. They have not been 8-2 in 3 decades. They haven't been 8-2 since 1993 when the Chiefs and Bills were playing with Jim Kelly and Joe Montana trying to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's amazing to think about, you know, what this team is now compared to what they're supposed to be. And then for fans to act like that, I agree. Like, why do you care how they're winning? They're 8-2, which is remarkable considering what we thought this season might be.
Well, it's not necessarily locally as much as I would imagine nationally as well. Oh, I don't know if they have the ability to, you know, go out there and win the Super Bowl playing like this and this, that, and the other thing. Good teams find ways to win because they're coached good, they're prepared well, and Buffalo falls into that category as well with Kansas City. I mean, I don't look at this as a vitriol rivalry like I do with Cincinnati because their fans suck. I look at this as a very respected rivalry.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'll go back to, I was a kid growing up during those 90s Super Bowl teams for the Bills. They matched up a couple times, once with Steve DeBerg, once with Joe Montana. They come to Buffalo. And even then, I think it was a pretty good rivalry. Then you get into the 90s, the Bills really got torched in a couple night games in Kansas City. It was so tough to play in Arrowhead. And then for a while, it was okay. Neither of these teams was really kind of very successful. And here we are again, the rise of these quarterbacks. And we know the story between the trade and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen coming the next year to Buffalo. I think for a lot of reasons, it's become that. It's become a really good rivalry. And let's remember, you know, Sean McDermott worked for Andy Reid in Philadelphia, and he wound up firing him, but they're still very close. They have healthy respect for one another. I agree with you from that side. One of the things that I always say on the radio here on WGR is I have a saying that says every game has its own DNA. So when someone says to me, well, if you play like that, I'm sure you guys heard it last week. Well, if you play like you did against the Broncos, you're not going to beat team X or team Y. Well, guess what? You didn't play team X or team Y. You played the Broncos. Every game's different, right? Mm-hmm. Every situation's different. So every game has its own DNA. Every game has its own different matchups. Football's about matchups. And I think this is going to be a really fantastic matchup Sunday at 4:25 in Orchard Park.
Talking to Buffalo Bills sideline reporter Sal Capaccio. Sal, Bob brought up a topic the other day. Do you think, and you probably know, actually, is the regular season irrelevant for Buffalo now? Like, I know you guys have taken care of business the last few years against Kansas City, but is it over that? Like, is a win or a loss doesn't really matter? You got to do it in the playoffs at this point against Kansas City?
Yeah, it's so funny, guys. I've been saying this. It's a shame because I hate that it's like this, but it is kind of true where this is almost a no-win situation for a lot of for the Bills in a lot of ways with some of their fans and a lot nationally, which is – and a lot of Bills fans are like this too, which – really kind of irks me because, again, we'll go back to, man, enjoy the ride, right? You're so good right now. But it's basically if the Bills lose this game, a lot of fans will say, well, there you go. Can't beat the Chiefs. Same old Bills. Sean McDermott can't beat Andy Reid in a big game. But if you beat them, it's, I don't care. Do it in the playoffs when it matters.
It's a no win, right?
It's a no win. And I think I've heard and I've seen that from a lot of fans so far. And I think there's an element of understandability to that, right? Because yes, it is all about the playoffs. This team has been knocking on the door. I believe that if the Chiefs were in the NFC, the Bills would have been to a couple of Super Bowls by now. Maybe they would have won a Super Bowl by now. There's no shame, you know, quote unquote, in losing to the best QB/coach and team of, you know, right now in this decade, basically, of what it is, the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Bills are right there. I know that they haven't beaten them in the playoffs. It doesn't mean they can't beat them in the playoffs. They came 13 seconds away. They came maybe a drop pass away from Stephon Diggs. It's been right there. They beat them in the regular season. I've seen the Chiefs. I've been on the sidelines for the Bills beating the Chiefs. I know they can do it. It just hasn't happened yet. But for Bills fans who've seen that, they'll tell you it doesn't matter until you get to the playoffs. And I understand that. But hey, you never know. Maybe they don't match up in the playoffs if something happens along the way before they wind up meeting each other.
Well, CBS is bringing their pregame show to Orchard Park. They're making this a huge, huge game. Is that the vibe in Buffalo, or is it, it's just the regular season, call me in January?
You know, what's funny is, too, about like this game, We just had a good discussion this morning on the radio about this, which is there are some Bills fans who are of the mind, like they're, I think they're protecting themselves against losing, which is, well, you know, because the Bills beaten the Chiefs in the regular season and then lost in the playoffs, some Bills fans think, you know what, maybe it's better to lose in the regular season than beat them in the playoffs. And I can't subscribe. I think that's just kind of really self-preservation. You're guarding against, you know, losing and feeling better about it. But the other thing that I'll say is, you know, for CBS to bring their crew here, this is a huge game for them. Yep. Because this is 9-0. I mean, guys, now the Chiefs do have a look at it, right? Look at their schedule. They actually have a legitimate kind of look at undefeated. And I think that the country wants to see, you know, what's going to happen here. Can the Bills ruin their undefeated season? There's no doubt about that. And I was hoping, you know, from the standpoint of standings, I was hoping the kick would go through last week because I thought it would set up a chance for the Bills to overtake the Chiefs for the one seed. There are fans, Buffalo Bills fans, who are glad the Chiefs won that game because they want to be the team to ruin the regular season and the undefeated regular season. So I think you have it both ways here.
That's amazing, man. That is absolutely amazing that fans look at this game in so many different ways for a game in November in the regular season. That means a hell of a lot more for us than it does for Buffalo, though.
It's interesting. I think, if you look at it that way, because of the regular, what I said. You guys tell me. I'll have a question for you. I've been reading. I follow the Chiefs accounts and see what's happening with their fan base and a lot of the reporters. And it just seems like this is now happening where it's becoming a thing. 9-0, right? This is something that this team wants, this fan base wants, right? Is this being talked about now where, okay, this is becoming important because you don't want to stub your toe. You want to see this through. They're already trying to make history to get 3 in a row. We know that. Nobody's ever done that. Now is it even about history and going undefeated?
Yeah, I told people at the beginning of the year they had one goal in mind, go undefeated and win the Super Bowl.
It's amazing. And look, I think also, guys, looking at the standings, so think about how much this swings, right? If the Bills are to win this game, they're a half game out of the one seed. And I think the one seed is so important now because only one team gets that bye.
Right.
Right. It's not even about the home games. It's about not playing that first weekend. And the Bills got hurt by playing that first weekend last year because they literally got hurt, right? They had a lot of injuries in the first 2 weeks before they played, in the first week before they played the Chiefs. So that hurt them, obviously. But the other thing is, let's say the Chiefs win this game. The Bills have the division wrapped up. It's so funny. Like the Bills have a bigger division lead than the Chiefs do. Even though they have two more losses, the Bills are going to win the division. We know that. If the Bills lose this game, there is a silver lining for a lot of fans I've heard from. And so, look, I mean, if the Bills know they're not going to get the one seed, they can start to have load management towards the end of the year, which I understand that as well. It's just, it's so fascinating to look at either side and how you can kind of spin a win or a loss either way.
Sal, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game on Sunday for another classic at 3:25. This one in Orchard Park. So we will we'll remember this conversation, and then when we play each other again in the AFC Championship game, we'll have you back on here on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, you know it's going to happen. Yeah, get the beef on whack, everybody, along with the wings. Okay,
no doubt about it. Get the burn ins when you come back in town.
You got it, buddy.
Sal Capaccio there here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming back on the other side, there is a name that is leaked to your Royals. Plus, it's that time of the week where we get to Max Pack and Bob's Bottom Feeders here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports and for Mac Morey. Drew Nixon, you guys back tonight, or is it just a solo show?
It's both of us, baby. 2 hours. Let's go.
Nice. We're going to lose Mac. He's like, sorry, guys. I got a new job. Your new producer's name is? I think I know what I'm getting Thursday night, by the way.
Oh, you looking at the menu?
My buddy Robert did a nice thing for somebody today, like we always tell people. He dropped off tacos from San Antonio.
Oh, nice. Sweet. All right.
It just says Dusty on the bag. But no.
Do not bring him in here.
Okay. No, I'm not. No onions. They're in a safe space.
Yeah.
But he was like, by the way, Mike, if you're going to Jasper's, you need to get the lobster ravioli.
Oh, the lobster ravioli.
Sold, dude.
The lobster cappuccino is new level as well. It is, I mean, you will like want to bathe in this stuff. The lobster cappuccino at Jasper's is off the chart. And so is the shrimp livernaise. Are you a shrimp fan?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The shrimp livernaise over Minnesota wild rice may be the best thing you'll ever
eat
at Jasper's.
I've never Ubered home due to being too full.
Too full?
Sir, how much you had to drink tonight? Actually, nothing. lots of carbs.
Lobster cappuccino, baby.
And then he said the tiramisu is like top notch. I don't know if you're a tiramisu guy. I'm not a TS guy,
but that's good. Yeah.
Lord. I don't know.
But that's not sweet. So, like you said, you're not a sweets guy. Yeah, but tiramisu is not really sweet. It's more of a, I don't want to say savory, though. No, it's just a creamy dessert.
Yeah. Right?
It's
a coffee-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got coffee-y, them, them lady fingers in the middle, too. That's what
soaked
they're called.
In something. Amaretto, maybe it is. But yeah. The lobster cappuccino. You'll have one of those. You'll be like, I need another one of
lobster
these.
Lobster cappuccino.
Yep. Just go with it.
Okay. Great movie from Adam Sandler. All right, Mac. Take it away.
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
Well, hey, before Matt gets his thing up, let's talk a little Royals baseball because I'm excited, you know.
Gets his thing up?
I said before Matt gets it up. I mean, I don't know.
No, you said before Matt gets his thing up.
Did I say that?
I'm excited for Royals baseball.
I am. I am excited because the guy that I want this offseason is now projected to come here to Kansas City.
Juan Soto?
Anthony Santander. Apparently Juan Soto's going to decide today. I saw
he's
going
to go to Boston.
Boston, New York, New York, or
I hope he goes
right?
to Boston. If he goes to Boston,
today, though?
Yeah.
I saw something on X, formerly Twitter, about
people
that. You know, a lot of people have said that, you know, he could end up making a decision today.
I hope he goes to Boston after watching the comeback so bad.
You think he's going to go to Boston?
Yeah, because I forgot that was the comeback was the A-Rod slap. And I was like, oh, that's why I hated A-Rod.
But would you, because Hosmer asked a good question on Twitter yesterday. Would you rather spend the money on Juan Soto or go after three arms like Corbin Burns, Blake Snell, and somebody else?
Soto.
To me, it's the three arms.
We already have three arms.
Yeah, but I'm just saying in general for a team, you could spend I'm sorry, Dusty. I know how much you like our guys, but I'm taking Blake Snell and Corbin Burns over everybody in the rotation other than Cole Reagans
right Lugo,
now.
Yeah, Lugo, Waka.
Sorry, guys. And you're in the bullpen. I'm taking Burns and Snell.
Lugo, Waka, Reagans with Bobby, Sal, Vinny, and Lou, and Soto. Yeah, I know where my heart lies.
You're gonna go there. See, I'm
you can't
kicking.
Change that
start, pass, or kick, or whatever it is. Yeah. I'm kicking Lugo start and walking to the curb, and I'm taking Corbin Burns and Blake Snell every day
Young
of the week.
Finalists. How Blake Young? How Blake Snell finish?
He gave up on the end of the year, but I'm still taking him over an aging, Seth Lugo.
Corbin Burns finish?
They were in the playoffs.
Okay,
but I'm still taking them. Yeah, I'm still taking them every day of the week, every single day of the week over Lugo and Waka. No questions asked. The other guy that I will take every day of the week is Anthony Santander as well, because he's projected now potentially by SI, and somebody was talking about it, about him coming to the Royals. That's the bat you need right now in that lineup. And he was a Silver Slugger Award winner last night, by the way, along with Bobby and with Salvi. So congratulations. Ooh. But adding another Silver Slugger bat into the lineup, into the outfield. That's exactly what the Royals need. And it should be the only real addition that I think they got to go out there and add this offseason is that bat. Because unless you're going to go out there and add, Tarik Skubal or Blake Snell or somebody like that, I think your rotation's pretty good, obviously. But you still need that bat. And that's why they ended up falling short. They didn't fall short necessarily because of pitching. Couldn't hit at the end. And so give me Anthony Santander. I love that guy. I've been watching for the last couple of years in Baltimore. That dude just fits the mold here in Kansas City.
I don't think he does.
Who do you want?
I just don't trust him playing in that outfield.
Why?
Because he's not athletic enough to play in the Royals outfield.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about
why
the
not?
Bat.
But if you're worried about the bat, then he plays DH, then who do you have to get rid of?
Well,
Vinny Sauer.
He can still play in the outfield. I think we focus a lot on defense at times when we don't
team
need
based
to.
On?
I understand
defense
that,
and pitching.
But you need a bat. You need a bat. Anthony Santander's that bat.
I don't know. I just would rather.
I mean, I think every position technically could be upgraded on this team other than catcher and shortstop right about now. You got to be looking around and finding ways to upgrade because you won 30 more games than you did the year before and you had a lot of career years.
Yeah.
So you got to say, are they all going to have career years again? Any way you can upgrade third, any way you can upgrade second, any way you can upgrade first into the outfield positions, I'm all for it, man. You got to upgrade. It's what the Chiefs do all the time.
You just keep showing that you're being that team that's going and getting people. I don't, and again, I'm being baseball nerdy by saying I don't trust him in the outfield. I'd love to have him on the team, obviously, but I mean, I'm saying it doesn't like really to me fit the mold of the Royals. But then again, they went and got Kendrys Morales, which is what that kind of move looks like. Morales was a DH/first base, but didn't really play a whole lot of outfield. Could have, did. But the fact that the Royals are being in discussion of adding to this to stay in the pack.
That's right.
If you see what I did there. But hey, stay in the conversation, because last year, look what you did. You were the most aggressive team. You made it to the ALDS. You had a Manager of the Year finalist. You had an MVP finalist. You had a Cy Young finalist. You had two guys win a Silver Slugger.
That's exactly right. So keep at it. You got to find ways to get better, man. Always get better. ABC, always getting better.
Wait, what? I'm confused. Go ahead.
It's time for Max Pack.
I kind of want him on the team just because I like that name.
Anthony Santander. It's Santander. A great name. He's just a fun player, man.
I used to call him Santander, and then everybody had dyslexia.
That's what I would have said if I said it before.
Santander. Santander. It's like, actually, it's Santander.
Santander.
Yeah.
And with that, we go to our Week 11 Max Pack rankings right before we get into the Bob's Bottom Feeders. I'm ranking these teams based on their legitimacy to actually win it all. This is why the Commanders haven't been in my power rankings, and they kind of showed that last week. The Steelers did end up getting that win. It was a close win. The Commanders, though, still on the edge, though. 0-3 versus those top 500 or over 500 teams, but still an honorable mention, not making the Max Pack. Who will, though, is the aforementioned Pittsburgh Steelers. This is their first appearance on my Max Pack. They're coming in at number five.
This should have been in the top weeks ago.
Yeah. They're number two on Coward's list, by the way.
That's too high.
He also had Matt Ryan still playing for the Falcons last week. So,
oh gosh,
we all make mistakes.
Give me Pittsburgh here. This is a well-rounded team. The offense has come up. They're on the come. Russell Wilson is playing his best football since Seattle by far. And you know, it makes sense because they're kind of built like the Seahawks. They can run the football. They have a fantastic defense. And they have a couple guys who can go up and get deep balls. And that was Seattle with a great head coach, Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll. Like, they're going after the same archetype. And he's digging in that time machine. He's looking pretty good. I like Pittsburgh. Baltimore Ravens, not as well-rounded. They do have the best offense in the league. I got to put them here. Two-time MVP, maybe three-time MVP in Lamar Jackson. They can run the ball on anyone. But, yeah, got to see that defense get better. I'm still putting them at four here just because of that. I think they've earned it. Buffalo at number three. They could go higher after this weekend. We'll see what happens in Orchard Park. Another well-rounded team that has, I mean, we just had Sal Capaccio on, sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills. He kind of mentioned it perfectly. Them, like Kansas City, kind of overachieving, maybe past some expectations, fighting through injuries, fighting back down in games, fighting through turnovers. Buffalo's done it all so far. Number two, talk about fighting back, man. My God. Sunday night football, five interceptions. You're down three possessions. It doesn't matter. The Detroit Lions just know how to win football games.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. You just can't say that because it's not pretty enough and they should be winning 35.
You're right. It's not about
knowing how to win football games, okay? Haven't you watched the national narrative of this stuff?
Well, that must mean my list sucks because my number one team doesn't know how to win football games. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, wait, that's all they've done.
Right.
They're 9-0, Bob, and I don't know why I keep having to get on After Hours and explain to texters why this team is elite.
Well, don't read the text line. That's your first mistake.
Come on, dude.
My fault. I can't help that on Monday. I can't help it. It's ticking me off. This team is amazing, and they're only getting better. We have not seen the best of Kansas City yet. Everyone should be frightened.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. We have not seen the best of the Kansas City Chiefs yet, and I'm good with that. My bottom feeder, because like our mid is better than your best.
Well, hold on real quick. Your top five, Pittsburgh.
Yep, Pittsburgh at five, Baltimore four, Buffalo three, Detroit two, and Kansas City coming in at one.
How many NFC teams did you have on that?
Zero.
List?
Well, go on, Detroit.
That's it. Wow,
that's crazy. Yeah,
and everybody's talking about how washed the AFC is this year.
And again, to give people the thing. Those are teams that Mac thinks can actually win the Super Bowl. Not that the best five teams are those teams, but those are the best five teams that have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Rams not on your list?
Not yet.
All right, my bottom feeders. These are the five teams I just think suck.
Jets,
Giants, easy. Jacksonville coming in. I'm surprised Dougie P still walking the sidelines
Seriously? This
late in the week. Like, I figured he'd be gone, but who knows. Jags coming in this week on the list. The Bears are making this list. You fired your second offensive coordinator in less than a year. Clearly, it's not the offensive coordinator that's the problem. In Chicago, it's the bad cell phone for the head coach. And then I got to put the Dallas Cowboys on my list of suckitude this week because now the narrative in Dallas is there's too much sun in the stadium and nobody can see the football, and that's why they're losing.
He said that's their home field advantage,
I know,
by the way.
He did. But like, and I credit Jerry Jones for saying all this.
What?
Because all the reporters are trying to make it out to be the sun. Like, the reporters in Dallas must be dead from the neck up because they still think their football team is good. And Jerry's like, it ain't the sun.
What?
Stop blaming the sun.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry, the sun. No, the stadium's been here 15 years. Do you know the winner of the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight this weekend will have more wins at Cowboy Stadium this year than the Cowboys?
I don't know, but I'll be watching it. It's a good pride
fight.
They
haven't won yet this year.
Gosh, that's so sad. Dallas.
Now, I don't know, do they get off the schneid against the Giants, or does that thing end in a 0-0 tie? This Thanksgiving, you don't really need to watch football. Lions and Bears, Giants and Cowboys, and then the night game is a bunch of, it's a pillow fight as well.
Yeah, I got in trouble from the text line saying, oh, you don't have to like the Thanksgiving games, but they're meant to have the on for our viewing pleasure.
Yeah, you can watch all you want, but I'm saying the games aren't good this year. They're not meaningful football
pleasure
games.
To watch Dallas play the Giants or whoever the hell they're playing.
That's exactly who it is.
I would rather not.
Thanks for listening, Mike. Yes.
I'm not saying that. That's actually the wrong way to do that, by the way. It is, because I just... actually, you were wrong in that situation to say thanks for listening, Mike. One, don't ever call me that guy's name again. And two, know when to use it. The other part about it is I did read an article the other day that said that Daniel Jones will no longer play a snap in the New York Giants franchise for Adam Schefter. He thinks that's the case.
Your boy.
Does that mean Drew Locke is going to get the play?
No, I think they're going to go with Tommy Turkey Leg or whatever his name
is. Tommy DeVito. Yeah.
That's who they want. They want DeVito. They like DeVito. Give him DeVito.
I'm walking in. Yeah, I mean, come on. He does. He's more, I mean... They're he's not winning
than,
games.
He's better than Drew Locke?
Oh, God, no.
So you think the Giants or the Cowboys should tank for Shadur and Deion?
Both.
Yeah, it's a race.
I don't think the Giants are hiring Deion.
I don't think the Giants are hiring a head coach.
No, I don't think they are
either. Keep his job.
They're going to finally give him a quarterback that he wants.
Has anybody ever fired a GM and not the head coach?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Because was it this GM that was there? When
John Dorsey.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's right. And Pioli. Was Pioli here with Andy?
No. Well, I mean, first day.
And then they left and he brought in Dorsey with him.
Yeah. I mean, they left Pioli in Philadelphia and told him to get a commercial flight home, I think.
You usually think it's, what, three coaches for every GM? So.
Giants, Jets, Jags, Bears, Cowboys.
Okay. Anybody else?
Titans?
Man, nobody cares about
that. Yeah, so irrelevant.
Honestly, like... I know you know a Titans fan, but, like, that's an irrelevant
Chicago's
team.
Interesting because Chicago's got some interesting drama. Because I don't know what to think now about Caleb Williams. Because now there's reports that the team went to the coach
Did
and said
you
fire.
See that?
They said fire the offensive coordinator. But also, apparently, half the team also said maybe you should let Caleb Williams ride some bench.
Yeah, they want some guy, Tyler Heinicke, I think, is the backup there.
Yeah, Tyler Heinicke, yeah.
Like, if you're going to the team and the head coach and saying, we don't want this guy playing quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
I mean, it's all, like, it's kind of what I foreshadowed with Caleb Williams. I didn't think he was much of a leader coming out of USC, cried at his mom's lap after a loss, and here we are in the NFL, and he's had 9 interceptions in, what, 3 weeks or something?
He got sacked 9 times.
Sacked 9 times. That's what it was.
Last week, and they said that like 3 or 4 of them were on him. By the way, going back to our weekly Fesco and Dusty poll question, I am so shocked by this because I don't
think... Oh, my God. It's
nuts.
It's insane.
What's going on? What's
the result? We asked everybody, who's more important for the Chiefs dynasty, Philadelphia Eagles or the Buffalo Bills? 84.1% say Buffalo.
Whoa. Buffalo, yeah.
What?
I think people... And I'm going to be honest with you.
The trade.
Of course, the Mahomes trade, but... There's going to be sooner rather than later guys in the NFL that don't know that Andy coached in Philadelphia.
Whoa.
How many years has he been in Kansas City now?
This is 11th year.
It's 11th year in Kansas City.
And they've won the division 10 straight.
How old is Xavier Worthy?
22,
21 years old.
Yeah, probably 21.
Take
22.
11 years off of that. How old was he when Andy got here to Kansas City? Mm-hmm. Do you think Xavier Worthy at 8 years old knew Andy Reid was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles?
No.
So we're getting to that stage where you're going to have players in the NFL, and I would say a lot probably in college right now.
21.
21 minus 11 is 10.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Xavier Worthy, like, honest to God, knew that Andy Reid was the head coach of the Eagles when he was 8 or when he was 9? Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. So there's going to be guys in this league who never knew that Andy Reid was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's how far away we're getting from that, but that's also how dominating that Andy Reid has been here in Kansas City. We're getting to the point where people don't remember that Andy Reid was the coach of the Eagles. And when you say it, they'll go, oh, yeah, that's right. He was the coach of the Eagles because he started in 1999. What year were you born, Mac?
98.
Damn. Tyson Bagnett is the actual backup.
Tyson Bagent? Secret Bagent Man?
Secret Bagent Man.
Love me some Secret Bagent Man.
So, yeah, it's even worse than whatever you guys
Taylor Heinicke?
Yeah.
Whatever. It's worse. I don't believe those rumors. But obviously, I don't believe those rumors.
You don't? They said multiple players have said that about Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I don't believe
there's too much smoke say to just be like, it's not true.
He stinks. And you got to think about it from their perspective. If you were affecting my money, I'd be inspector's office right now going, get the hell out of here with this guy.
Or are they affecting his money?
Yeah, absolutely. The opportunity to win, to play, you got a limited career. You don't want to play with this loser at quarterback.
My only thing is it the offensive line or is it the system? Because what they did is they supported him with DJ Moore. They drafted Rome Odunze. They got Keenan Allen. They got DeAndre Swift.
Look at all these good points you're making, dude.
Like,
Cole
Kmet's a decent tight end, and it's just like, where's the production?
Yeah. They scored 3 points against the Patriots.
I don't know if it's the coaching, the play calling, too many voices in his head. Maybe that's it. But like, they did say that the 9 sacks, that 3 or 4 of them were on Caleb Williams.
Oh, yeah. It's not just an O-line stat. I went on a whole rant about quarterback discourse, and I was kind of on the opposite side of you guys last night. But I would say that we overrated the supporting cast of the Chicago Bears. One, probably overrated Caleb Williams and underestimated the effect that a bad head coach can have on a young QB.
No, I never did any of that because that's the way it is all the time. If your head coach sucks, your quarterback doesn't stand a chance. And if your quarterback sucks and you're saddled with him as a new head coach like Daboll, you don't stand a chance.
I don't know. I just think that it's interesting to say that, you know, now we say that his talent around him isn't good after 10 weeks in the season. Like, were we all saying that at the beginning of the season?
No, everybody loved the talent around him at the beginning of the year.
It's actually not that bad. And nobody likes Caleb Williams in Chicago.
Go through the names again.
DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Been hurt all year.
Yep. Not all year. Most of
the 3 or 4 games. Yeah.
You know who else has been hurt? Hollywood Brown, Rashi Rice, Isaiah Pacheco.
That's not what we're talking about.
Look, dude, but
that's not what we're talking about.
People were comparing this gentleman to Patrick Mahomes.
That's not his fault.
Yeah.
That's part of the discourse issue.
I will say this. I am not over the Caleb Williams that he can be a quarterback in the league.
But it's got to get fixed quick because they lose their minds like Daniel Jones can't hit an open guy on a flea flicker.
There are 3 problems with Caleb Williams. 1, overhype is a problem. 2, you have to be good in the first 3 weeks of your career. That's another issue.
Yes.
And 3, maybe he isn't the guy that we thought he was going to be. And that's okay. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's Kirk Cousins, not Patrick Mahomes. That's the unfairness to quarterbacks in the world. Zach Wilson got drafted because he made a Mahomes throw in a combine, not his fault.
Right.
And when you put that on somebody, it's like, you know, it's like, look at Alex Gordon when he came to the Royals. Like, this is the next George Brett.
Not fair to him.
How'd that work out for Alex Gordon? He was in the minor leagues and learned a new position and then became the guy that he is today.
But that also came from leadership. That also came from coaching. That also came from the ability of the player to go down there and do all this and admit, like, hey, I need to make a change right now. And so,
yeah. No, that's fair. Some bad stuff happened yesterday to some local athletes. Plus, I want to bring up some numbers on the other side as to people saying why Patrick Mahomes can't be in the MVP discussion. I'll tell you what those numbers are coming up on the other side at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, 913-586-7965. Happy National Sadie Hawkins Day. So those women out there that are pursuing your crush, go pursue it.
So many out there.
Go get that man of yours on Sadie Hawkins Day here on November, 13th. Go get them, ladies. They're there for you. I've never been to a Sadie Hawkins dance. Went to a mix.
We didn't grow up in the 50s.
I wish we would. That's a decade that I wish I lived in.
That would have been a fun decade. Yeah.
60s, probably pretty cool, I think. 50s, I just want to have like slick back hair, a leather jacket, pack of cigs in my sleeve, and go get like a hamburger and a milkshake.
For a quarter.
Yeah. back in my day.
I had a back in my day yesterday with
really?
Somebody. Yeah, I don't know what we were talking about, but I just remember texting, back in my day.
You did it or somebody did
no,
it?
No, I did. We were talking about, like, you know, I don't
so
know.
So it was, like, facetious.
Yeah.
I remember the people would come into the restaurant and be like, well, you know, back in 1958, the sandwich was only $1.40.
Right.
I'm it's like, I bet 19, it was.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Probably a lot back then you complained about
it was.
Too, right? Yeah.
So, star quarterback and tight end's house got burglarized?
What the hell is going on, man? Especially during a game, so you know people were looking at this. This is what chases athletes out of town.
Like, why do people do these kind of things?
Because people suck, man.
Like, what are you going to get at, like,
I don't know.
It's also kind of the thing that, like, this also kind of is like maybe a double blade. Like, you remember when Mahomes got his new place? Excuse me. And they started, like, showing, like, aerial footage of his
Channel
house.
9 like, showed, like, where he lived. Yeah.
Why? Right, yeah. Like, what does that do for people?
Yeah, because that's what we do in the media now. Well, here's where Patrick Mahomes lives and all this kind of stuff. Like, I think it really does. Like, I've never stolen anything in my life. I've never been that guy.
You're a better human than I am.
Now, I have stolen toilet paper from places I've worked before when I wasn't making enough money to, you know, do that kind of stuff. And I didn't consider that stealing. I considered that
borrowing.
Pay. Yeah, right. Now I didn't bring it back. But
thank you.
I'm not a fan of thievery. And, like, if your life is bad and you need help, ask for help. It's always available, right? Somebody mm-hmm. will always help you. But to go and burglarize a home of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce during a Chiefs game, so you knew they targeted it, they knew what they were doing. This wasn't a happenstance that, oh, I just saw this home and I'm going to rob it. It was all pre-planned out. This is what chases folks away from communities. Like, if you're Mahomes and Travis Kelce, at the end of your career, you're like, man, I just got burglarized in a city where I'm a hero. Like, why are people doing that, man? I think you suck if you're stealing and you're burglarizing a home or you're doing something like this. I remember talking, you know, to people over the years that, you know, just love living in Kansas City when their career is over. Now we're having our two biggest people ever, maybe, that has ever lived in this town, and you're robbing their house? Get the F out of here, man. Arrest those people. Lock them up for good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand it. I just don't think that, like, I don't know, like, I guess when, you know, you say, like, you never stole anything. Like, I think the worst thing I ever stole was, like, a license plate and like, from those, like, tourist stores. And then my buddy Alex just texted me and said, nah, man, you stole some fish that you and Chuck Nasty borrowed. And that's a true story.
You stole fish?
No, we were at a party in this girl's house, and she, like, needed room in her freezer. This is a true story, Alex, so don't try to make this up. But she needed room in her freezer to add stuff to it. And she had a bunch of, like, frozen meat that her parents had in there. And it was, like, a bunch of, like, fish. And my buddy Chuck worked it out back, and he's like, hey, dude. Take this home to your house, season it up, grill it out. Never made it back to the house, but there's
what the hell did you do with it?
Stayed in my car overnight, and it was in the middle of July. Yeah, dude. But I didn't steal it. She gave it to me.
Yeah, that's not stealing.
No, dude, she gave it. She's like, get it out of my house. I don't want it. And well, I was like, all right.
100% not stealing.
No, yeah, he's just trying to be a jerk. Not really. He's just being funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't understand, like, why you'd steal from, like, an athlete. Like, what do you do? Go to play on Patrick Mahomes' like soccer field or football field? Go play his little par three course?
Yeah, I don't have that connection in my brain, like, why you're doing that. Because you're obviously doing that because you think you're going to get some stuff and maybe sell some stuff. But the minute you go to a pawn shop, people are going to know you're selling Patrick Mahomes' stolen goods.
Right. I mean, yeah.
It's just a bad look, man. I hate when stuff happens like that. We pride ourselves on being such a great community, and then you have stuff like that pop up where both houses get robbed on the same day during the same football game.
It was the Saints Monday night game.
What I saw, the Saints Monday night game. I'm like, come on, man. Like, seriously. Like, that's just a bad look for people here to do something like that to our guys. It's a bad look to rob anybody's house. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Inside job. Say, it's also, like, they must have been, like, good at...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But they did, because Mahomes was like in a super gated community.
Yeah, at Loch Lloyd. It's like, yeah.
Loch Lloyd Golf Course, beautiful. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, because I got a little bit of grief from this, by the way, I went over the last five games for Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Patrick's better?
No, but it's a lot closer than you might think. So this is Josh Allen in his last five games. 1,336 yards, nine touchdowns, four interceptions. Coming from the guy who hadn't thrown an interception in the first, what, 5 weeks of the season? So last five games, 13, 36, 9, and 4. Patrick Mahomes' last five games, 13-04, 6-4. So 28 more yards and three more touchdowns. And everybody's like, how can we have the conversation that, you know, Patrick Mahomes should be in the MVP category? Well, because it's Lamar Jackson, clearly, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. And in the last 5 weeks, yes, the numbers aren't 15-5 or 13-3 with touchdown interceptions. But if Josh Allen is number two on the list and Patrick Mahomes' numbers over the last 5 weeks are this, now again, we can go, I know it's a full season, but Patrick Mahomes is starting to enter the conversation because of how he's been the last five weeks.
How is the conversation going to be, do you think, on Monday morning when the Chiefs win this game and they're sitting at 10-0 and Patrick Mahomes threw two touchdown passes and no interceptions and beat Buffalo? Do you think then people will put Patrick Mahomes in the MVP conversation? Mac, you're shaking your head no.
No, they won't.
Why?
Because they're not going to. I don't know why. I don't know why, Bob. So they're not going to do it.
I ask you this.
Who's
got a better chance at winning an award this year, Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid?
I think Andy Reid.
Andy Reid.
And Andy Reid's fallen in the coach of the year.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. Odds. He was number one last week. He's like fourth this week.
Why, you ask? I don't know.
Why? Because they blocked a field goal. Because that's coaching! I shouldn't be yelling with my voice the way it is.
I was going to say, easy.
Like...
gotta get that throat good for Friday, man. Friday's a big show.
That's coaching.
Yeah. I mean, again, I know people say, well, it doesn't matter about MVPs. You know, how many Super Bowl MVPs does, you know, Lamar Jackson have? How many MVPs, Super Bowl MVPs does Josh Allen have? 0-0. Mahomes has two. But again, like, man, I'm at the point now where I don't want any question when Mahomes puts his pads on the shelf. I don't want any question. Right?
About if he's the greatest of all time?
Yeah. Exactly. Because if this dude gets six Super Bowls and wins a three-peat and goes undefeated and wins an MVP and has four Super Bowl MVPs, four regular season MVPs, a perfect season, a three-peat, like, you're looking at maybe, like, never having that discussion again.
What if they three-peat and never win another one with Mahomes? He's still the greatest of all time, in my opinion. Nobody else has ever three-peated in the NFL.
No. And, I mean, to think that the opportunity will happen, you don't. Like, you don't know that because, like, it hasn't happened yet, and the NFL has been around for 100 years or however long.
105 maybe now.
I still remember
like
the 75-year patch on the Chiefs jersey.
It's 80 years ago. 30 years ago.
Yeah. I'm 37.
Yeah.
That's relevant to me. Yeah. I had that jersey.
Yeah, that's how long ago that. But it goes so fast. So I think the 100th anniversary was COVID, was it not, or right before COVID?
I don't know. I kind of blacked out during COVID. But yeah, so I think that's interesting. The last 5 weeks, Mahomes and Allen, very similar. Yeah,
stop trying to change the narrative with fact.
That's what I do.
Stop trying to change the narrative with fact.
I just think it's interesting. I mean, 28 yards better and three touchdowns better. Same interceptions, but Patrick throws so many interceptions.
And the Chiefs have the wins. Exactly. Like, there's no question if this team goes undefeated or even goes 16-1. Patrick Mahomes is your MVP and Andy Reid is your coach of the year. It's not debatable. It just isn't. It is not debatable.
Some people are fake mad. I'll explain on the other side. Cam Smith, 96.5 The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.